Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here to kick off another week. It's time for a virtual trip report, and we're going to keep you here in the holiday season, in the holiday spirit, with listener Courtney. We've got a great one for you. We're headed down to Walt Disney World here in just one second. A quick break to thank our sponsors, our friends over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Two great books, both about Walt Disney and how he turned his dreams into reality. And in doing so, he got the most out of those around him. He rallied his teams to do even more than they thought they could to produce Disneyland and to dream bigger and to make Walt Disney World as well. Two great books, audio books, you got the regular books, ebooks, and there's a lot more there too. And these make great holiday gifts. So support the folks who support us and go over to thewisdomofwalt.com. If you're looking for a last-minute gift, this is one that can bail you out each and every time. It's a premium subscription to touringplans.com. That's the official website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. Of course, they have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for with pictures, and so much more. For the cost of a couple of the holiday cupcakes down at Walt Disney World, you're getting 365 days of great information. And if you need that last-minute gift, all you need is an email address, and your friend or family member is set for the next 365 days. Check them out. Let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
To episode 1412 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rahman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Check that out here during the holiday season. I know that I'm listening to Christmas music, but you know what? Sometimes you just got to get your Disney fix with some background loops, and that's where you can do it. Just tell your device that's listening all the time, that's sitting next to me, which I don't want to trigger because I'm recording a podcast right now, but just yell out to it and say, "Play Magical Mouse Radio," and it will play. So it's pretty sweet there. All right, time to head down to Walt Disney World. We got a great one to keep you in the holiday spirit today. I've been looking forward to this one for quite a while because I'm not going to get to take a trip like this. So it's a lot of fun just to talk about because I'm a pop century guy. So we'll see what happens. Maybe if I'm splurging, I'm a little Coronado Springs guy. I'm excited for this one. So we're headed down Georgia Way, down to Marietta, Georgia. Courtney's joining us today. Courtney, how are you doing today?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Glad to have you here on the show. Hopefully you had a great Thanksgiving. And, does time speed up for you too between Thanksgiving and Christmas?
Oh, yeah. And I can't believe that it's already in November anyway. This year is just flying.
It is. And you're running marathon weekend, correct?
I'm not. Actually, we're trying to plan a girls trip to do one of the halves. So we'll see. Maybe next year.
Okay, because you mentioned the treadmill before we started recording, so I thought, you know what?
I know. No, I'm working my way up. We did a 10K on Thanksgiving, so we'll get there.
Because this time of year, I can tell you from personal experience, this time of year for those folks, and we got the big, the Running Lizards fifth year. It's the big bash. We're doing great. A lot of people have that love-hate relationship going with the treadmills right about this time of year. So, we love that get the opportunity to get the miles in, but we hate them while we're doing it. So that's me right now.
100% agree with that.
So somebody's probably listening while they're pounding the belt right now. So keep going. Don't get thrown off. All right, so let's talk about your trip. Holiday season last year. Just give us some background. When did you go? Who went with you? Where'd you stay? Stuff like that, and we'll dive into the particulars.
Sure. So we went down, we were supposed to be going down Saturday, December 9th and stay until the following Saturday. We actually ended up packing up and leaving a day early because you mentioned it was snowpocalypse where you live. It was snowpocalypse where we lived last year. So I had a friend that worked that joked and said, "You might want to get on the road now or you might not be heading to Disney." And so we panic packed and threw everything in the van and went down a day early. Which turned out to be a good idea because everyone got snowed in, including my parents, who were headed down with us. So my parents had been dying to take our kids down for their first trip to Disney. And so it was my son, who was just about four at the time. My daughter was a year and a half. myself and my husband, my mom and dad, and then my sister and her husband. And so we all went down. My sister and husband came for the, or my sister and her husband came for the last end of the week. And the rest of us stayed for 7 days, I believe it was. And we did 4 days, 5 days in the park.
And so you got to tell everybody where you stayed and kind of tell us the background of like how you got there, because of course you got there by, you know, driving from Atlanta, but how did you get there, you know, through the Disney logic, you know, the Disney math kind of thing?
So we started off kind of, you know, at one of the moderates, and my dad just kept talking about what our options would be. And we ended up staying at the two-bedroom villa at the Grand Floridian. I mean, we were looking at a couple different rooms, two or three rooms to accommodate all eight of us. And so after we started crunching some numbers, doing some Disney math, and then thinking about how fun it would be for all eight of us to be together, we ended up mega splurging and getting spoiled at the Grand Floridian. So I'll tell you, we went back with my son. My husband had a conference. We went back last June and stayed at Pop Century. So I'm either a Pop Century or a Grand Floridian girl, and I could get anywhere between the two.
Yeah, you put me on property and I'm happy. I'm happy as anything. You know, I could stay at All Star Sports. I could stay at the Grand, really anything. When I'm there, I'm in the spirit. But I'm just saying, like, you pick the perfect resort for the perfect time of year, because I think that we mentioned this over the past 10 years doing the show that, you know, there are things that kind of go hand in hand, and like Grand Floridian and Christmas, I mean, that's a match made in heaven. You know, if you're looking to do Disney Springs, Riverside's a great place, or French Quarter, Old Key West, where you can catch a boat and you can just go down back and forth Saratoga Springs. You know, there's a lot of, you know, correlations between a resort and a theme or a time of year. And I mean, did you feel that? Was it like extra special because you were at the Grand during Christmas?
Oh yeah, it's beautiful. And I mean, you walk into the lobby and you immediately smell the gingerbread, and everything is done up, and they have the giant Christmas tree. And I remembered, my parents said we had stayed there once when I was little, and I don't remember much of the trip, but I remember it when they used to have that giant poinsettia tree that was in the lobby. Mm-hmm. And so it's a different tree now, but oh gosh, it's just beautiful. And yeah, you can't beat the smell of gingerbread. And so we would just dance to the band. My kids were like dancing around while the band's playing Christmas carols. And you can't beat it at Christmas.
Okay, so one of the things I've been doing on the Monday shows that I'm really liking, and I hope our listeners are too, is kind of asking our special guests kind of the background of like your Disney story. Like, you know, why do you go to Walt Disney World? What makes it so special? You said you went when you were a kid, your parents took you there. And what is it for you that really, you know, this is your destination? And it sounds like your dad is really a big Disney fan himself. But, you know, what's the story for your family?
So we grew up kind of going to Disney World quite a bit. My mom likes it. My dad loves it. and he we grew up, he'd have conferences there every couple years. And so we'd go every couple years while dad was working, and he'd join us on the weekends. And it was me and my sister, and we would just have a ball there. And it really was just the happiest place on earth. And so we went for a stint there when we got older and didn't go as much. And then when I graduated from college, my parents said, "What do you want to do?" And I said, "I want to go to Disney World." And so we did. And it just kind of re-sparked it. And then, like I said, my parents had just been dying to get our kids there for their first trip. And I wasn't going to turn that down.
So, no.
So I said, this is the perfect excuse. And I didn't realize how much all of the planning and everything had changed since, I guess, this was really our first trip that I had been on as an adult. Or involved in the planning of it, at least. And I got bit by the bug bad and started listening to your podcast and other podcasts. And it plays into my hardcore type A engineer personality, where, I mean, there's spreadsheets. And my parents just said, "Oh, wow, you ran wild with that. And we'll show up and just do whatever you say." And I said, "Sweet."
Well, yeah, that's the whole thing. Like, folks that don't understand, you know, that if you're listening to the show, you most likely have gone through the process. You know, and I call it I got my air quotes going, the process. I mean, it's not just going to Six Flags or going to, you know, Holiday World. It is, you know, like you said, you got to have spreadsheets, and it's almost a competition, because, you know, in a way, you know, of course, it's not like you don't want to see winners and losers, but on a Walt Disney World vacation, there are winners and losers, and it's people who plan usually tend to come out ahead, because you're going to get the best ADRs, the best fast passes. You're going to know when to go where the crowds are not, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, while I want everybody to have a great trip, I think it's, you know, when you do the legwork pre-trip, it's almost like an insurance policy towards having a great vacation. So you mentioned planning, and you had a larger group. You know, you had your sister and her husband, you got your family, you got your parents. What did you learn through this process of, you know, it's not just your core family, but you got all these variables going on. So what could you share with the audience? Maybe something you learned that could help them.
Sure. So I think, and I know it's said on the podcast a number of times before as well, but we kind of weren't afraid to do our own thing at different times. And so that was very helpful where, like my dad's not a roller coaster guy, but, me and my sister and our husbands love them. Turns out my son loves them. And so we would kind of break off and maybe my dad and mom would go with our little one and do the teacups or do Small World or something like that, where we, could go take on some of the roller coasters and, or even my brother and sister, or my sister and my brother-in-law, we had the Akershus breakfast scheduled one day, and they said, "You know what? That's really just not my thing. Would you mind if we just went off and rode test track while the park was opening up, so there was no wait?" And I think that was very helpful. It was nice where we were all together most of the time, but everyone kind of got to get there, do their own thing. And then one other thing that I did you before we left and when we were kind of planning meals, fast passes, things like that, was just make sure that I asked what was everyone's like must do. One of them was Peter Pan. And so I knew we needed to make a fast pass for that. I really, really wanted to do Everest because I hadn't done it in ages. And I knew that that was like one of the best roller coasters. So we made a fast pass for that. So just kind of working in what everyone's must-dos were, be it nighttime entertainment or the fireworks or rides or meals, whatever.
So let me ask you this, because you know this podcast is now so old, which I can't believe I've been doing it this long. But like back when we started, I'd ask this question and I'd get a lot different answer because, you know, when you have folks maybe not in the same town or, you know, different families kind of collaborating on a trip, how did you stay in contact with everybody? You know, was it like social media, like Facebook or something? I mean, back in the day, I remember people used to, you know, do like a newsletter, you know, and mail it to, you know, everybody. Like, this is the monthly update of what we have planned. You know, call me if you want to change something. You know, it's changed so much because everything's instantaneous. But did you learn anything about the collaboration of everybody? Because you mentioned getting everybody's thoughts. But how did you go about doing that?
So I'm super lucky that my parents live in town and we do Sunday dinners with our family every week. So we, of course, end up talking about it at Sunday dinner with my parents. And then my sister and her husband, we would just kind of end up through group texting or calls. The husbands were kind of along for the ride. So between me and my sister and my mom, we would either take care of it, talking at Sunday dinner or through text. Or on the phone. So nothing too formal for us. And like I said, I think I was the like crazy planner one. And so as long as everyone, I was trying to work in kind of what everyone's must-dos were, then they were like, cool, I'll just show up and we'll go for it.
You know what? That's, if you have somebody in the group that's like, you know, the crazy planner, like we probably all call ourselves, you know what? If you're not that person, just sit back and go for the ride. It's going to be awesome. And you don't have to worry about all the stuff they're pulling their hair out for. You know, like
exactly.
when you have that person, just thank your lucky stars that it's not you, because it's a second or third or fourth job, depending on how many jobs you have, because that's what it is. And I think a lot of people get that when they get home, you know, they've had this awesome trip, but it's almost like a letdown because the planning and the anticipation of the trip has taken on such an essential part of your life, maybe in that, you know, 6 months prior to the trip, that when you get home, it's almost like, well, what do I do now? Do you ever get that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I was like, shoot, well, when are we going to go back? And then a couple of our other friends would talk about, oh, well, we're planning a trip for next year. And I was like, yes. Okay, let me tell you about all the things that we learned. So then I would just, you know, kind of tag on to talking about what our friends were planning on doing too.
It's, you know, you can't help it. You're a Disney fan. It's what we do. So
I know.
Let me ask you this. You guys were in a 2-bedroom villa. I've had the opportunity one time because of my buddy Scott, he's a DVC member, and we kind of, you know, went together a couple summers ago and got a 2-bedroom over at Old Key West. And I, you know, I'd always stayed in just typical hotel rooms, you know, multiple rooms if we had a larger group and so forth. But I'll tell you what, the dynamic of that trip in the 2-bedroom was so special because we really did get to vacation in a different way because we had that, you know, the big living room. We had a patio that overlooked the golf course, and we had we ordered groceries and made cookies and all kinds of stuff. And it was almost like we were hanging out at like one of our houses, but we could go to the parks when we wanted to. It was very communal. We got to spend time together where you just don't, you know, even if you're hanging out in the food court or whatever at your hotel, it's really not the same. It really was a different kind of experience. Did you think the same?
Oh yeah. I loved it. And we ended up, we would come back. One of the things I was going to make sure I said was, we would drive to the parks in the morning so that you would get your great parking spot. And then we'd either ride the monorail or take the bus back, for lunch and for naps for the kids. And I got one walking in right now.
That's what we do. Hey man, we're parents and you never know what's going to happen.
I know. And so we would take the bus back during the middle of the day for naps and all that kind of stuff. And it was just nice. The kids could take a nap. We would hang out in the den with our parents, and we brought a crock pot with us, and we'd cook. We'd throw something in there for dinner, and it just was super nice. And then we would come home every night, and we could watch the Magic Kingdom fireworks from our balcony and have a glass of wine all together and chat while the kids were sleeping. And yeah, it was
Does it get any better? Yeah, I know. Does it get any better than that? I mean, come on. We loved it at Old Key West. We couldn't go out on the balcony and watch the fireworks with a glass of wine. We did heckle. We didn't heckle golfers, but we'd like do quiet commentary on their putting because we were right over one of the greens. You know, oh, how do you miss that putt? You know, that was our entertainment.
Exactly,
wasn't Magic Kingdom fireworks, but I mean, that's how we rolled.
I'm not sure I'm going to be able to top this trip ever. I was like, thanks, Mom and Dad, for helping out with that one. I'm not sure we would have been able to do it without you.
But I think the thing you got to think about with something like that, when you have a very special trip like that, is, you know, you may never do it again. But I mean, you the whole thing is you got to do it. You have the memory for the rest of your life. And, you know, whether it happens again or it doesn't, you know, it's something that, you know, you're always going to take with you forever and ever.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's awesome. So tell us about some of the highlights. You guys were down there during the holiday season. You know, of course, you know, we can't talk about everything. We have like 20 minutes left. But like, what do you remember a year later? Like during that season, it's just so magical, so beautiful, so much going on. What still sticks out to you?
Well, yeah. And we're huge Christmas fans here too. So we didn't do the Christmas party this time. I was saving it. I'll save it for another trip when the kids are a little bit older, but gosh, the decorations everywhere were just insane. And it was the, last year was the first year they started doing everything at Hollywood Studios, and, just the decorations and the atmosphere and the environment, is just awesome. Can't be beat. And, so we did, we did have a park hopper, and so we kind of hopped around based on where we wanted to eat, what fireworks we wanted to see, things like that. And I thought that was super nice, especially with the kids. We ended up going back to Magic Kingdom a couple times, just because with the little ones, that was the that had the most kind of rides that they could all do. And so it's nice to be able to hop around there, and especially being at the Grand Floridian, my parents again are amazing. And so they would hang out with the kids while they were heading to bed. And my husband and I and my sister and her husband went out one night and rode rides at Magic Kingdom like kids and watched fireworks there too. And I'll tell you that, that was really fun. It's amazing to see the joy on your kid's face. I didn't understand that. I mean, you know, you hear that, how watching your kids walk around at a Disney World and just, oh gosh, the skipping over to characters that they'd see, that they'd know. And, that is amazing. And then, it's a totally different dynamic if you go back with just adults. And so we luckily got to do that a couple times during the trip too, and gosh, it was just so fun. And so we're riding like Astro Orbiter, me and my husband, at night, and the fireworks are going off in the background, and it was just awesome. And we hadn't been in gosh 8-9 years, and so just it's kind of like everything was new again.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, I know what you're saying with the kids, because it's exactly what it is. When you get the opportunity to go with the kids and see it all through their eyes, it's awesome. But when you get that escape just for a few hours, just with your significant other. And like you said, I mean, I've done the same thing. Like, you know, going on Dumbo at night with the fireworks going on, or, you know, being on Big Thunder as the fireworks happen, or, you know, just being at the Magic Kingdom at night is magical. But just that, it's that freedom that you can run around at a faster pace. And it's like you're living the planning video there for just a few hours. And I love that, because you're at that point, you're not really fighting the big crowds at maybe 2 o'clock in the afternoon in Fantasyland. It's just kind of all gravy. You know, you're going and just laughing, and usually you're kind of delusional because you're tired. You've been going so hard, and it's a ton of fun.
Yeah. And we had a blast. I'm not sure that we went to Animal Kingdom, but not for long. The time before we went, and so obviously Pandora was new, and it was incredible. And so we did Flight of Passage. Of course, we had to wait in line because we didn't have a fast pass, but that was amazing. And then we did Rider Swap for that, and so we swapped, or my parents sat with the kids, and then my parents got to go, and we ended up with another Rider Swap, and so we let my brother-in-law and sister come too. And so that, of course, was amazing. And then the safari, I don't think that I had been on the time before. I didn't remember it. And gosh, my kids just like died for that. Giraffe were like coming right up to the truck or the Jeep that you're on, and, or the, tram, whatever you want to call it.
Jeep. I call it the big Jeep.
gosh, it just was amazing. And I'm like, God, this, it's like the zoo on steroids, and everyone's wonderful there. And, so we spent quite a bit of time at Animal Kingdom looking at animals. We had an interesting day at Hollywood Studios, and of course Toy Story Land hadn't opened yet, so there wasn't a ton that we could do, but we definitely wanted to watch a couple of the shows. And my son is really into Star Wars, and so of course he wanted to see the stormtroopers kind of marching down. And we had Minnie's Holiday Dine, which was super fun. I wanted to do it because we love Christmas, and I was like, oh, let's see everyone in their holiday outfits and all of that. And the food was good enough. It was
yeah, that's
more
true.
About the characters, I would say. And we had we got it with the Fantasmic Dining package, and so that was kind of the plan for later that day. And my son was just kind of out of sorts and not having it, and until he met Mickey. But that was the only character that he was happy for. And we were walking out, and I said, gosh, you feel really hot. And I didn't think about it. I had thought about the baby care center, but there's also the kind of first aid area at guest relations up at the front of the park. And we walked in and checked. He had a fever. And Disney is just so amazing with their customer service from top to bottom. And they had Motrin there, gave it to him. They said, there's a room in the back. If you don't have the opportunity to go back to your hotel, you can lay down. Luckily we went back to the hotel, and he took a nap and was, woke up, perked up, and was like, can we go see fireworks? But, it's just amazing. Little things like that Disney does. And I'm like, gosh, you saved the day. Give you a little bit of Motrin. They gave us two coupons because my daughter, of course, was having a meltdown too. Two coupons for ice cream, so we could go pick out whatever ice cream we wanted. And the day, I feel like it saved the day. It salvaged the day, I should say.
I think Disney's really good at that, though. It's taking like a tough situation, whether it's, you know, there's a million different things that could happen that kind of turn a day sour. And you know, they can't fix everything, but I mean, you know, that's a simple gesture that's going to help a family, you know, turn around, and here you are talking about it a year later.
I know. And that was one of the stories that I came back with, and I'm like telling people, they're like, so what even makes Disney so amazing? And I'm like, let me tell you, my son's had a fever. And yes, the day was about to be wrecked, and Disney saved the day. And it just was amazing. He loves Fantasmic. I stayed home with my daughter and didn't get to go see the show. But they went back and I was surprised. Everybody loved Fantasmic, and I hadn't seen it in ages either. But the pictures turned out great. And that one's a fun one because it's got all the characters. And so I'm kind of bummed I didn't get to see that one. But but the rest of the family had a great time.
Yeah, that one's my wife's favorite too. The Fantasmic is hers. Of course, mine's Illumination, so I got to see it one more time you know, make my peace with World Showcase Lagoon and my good old Illuminations. But you know, I'm sure the next one.
I know.
I was sad when Wishes went away, but Happily Ever After is pretty sweet, so I can't complain.
Yeah, we ended our trip with Illumination. So the kids, I call us the kids, and my parents stayed home with our daughter, and Charlie was still just running around happy as a clam. He wanted one of the gigantic pretzels at Germany, and we staked out a spot right there on the lake. And Illuminations at Christmas time is insane. I think they just blow off every firework that they have left in their arsenal at the end there, and and the music is just beautiful. So
yes,
that was a solid way to end the holiday season, the holiday trip there.
You know what? Now I want a pretzel. I don't have to go to QT or something and give me a pretzel. those pretzels are huge and they're so good. I don't drink beer, but I do eat the pretzels. This is so good. I want a marathon weekend. I got a date with a pretzel in Germany. That's how it's going to be. I got my margarita in Mexico. Yeah, that's it. Maybe I'll get it on the way in, you know, like at the end of the race. Anyway, I'm always thinking about food at Walt Disney World. It's kind of crazy how that works. Let me take just a quick break here for 1 second. Remind everybody, you know, we're going to get into your dining here in just a second. Some of the other things you did. I agree, though, about the food over at Hollywood and Vine. It's adequate. It's okay. The characters are what you're there for, you know, but they have a couple really good items. They had some scrambly cheesy potatoes one time I was there. I was crazy about those. Not everything else, but those were really good. Anyway, I just want to remind everybody, you know, it is the holiday season. If you could support the Be Our Guest podcast by using our affiliate link over at Amazon, we'd sure appreciate that. So again, it's beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And it goes to help support the show here in the holiday season. Just want to sneak that in here before the end of the show. So let's get back to your dining. And you mentioned, you know, you had that dining experience. Some of you guys went to Akershus, some didn't. And that's a great tip. You know, if you want to go ride rides and you're not into it, I love how your sister said, you know, hey, we're just going to bail out and it's no problem. And, you know, everybody's happy. You save a little money. You get a little extra time on the rides. But what are some other highlights from your dining?
So like I said, it was an interesting trip because we did cook and eat a lot in our hotel room, which was really nice. But we did Be Our Guest. That was my mom's must do and so we had a lunch reservation there and it was beautiful. We walked in and I'm like, oh my gosh, you really are. Like, you really are a Beauty and the Beast. And that was a solid meal too, especially at Magic Kingdom. So we really enjoyed that. We did Ohana. We did a breakfast, Ohana. We had an off day, where we were kind of resting and, still wanted to do something Disney, and it had turned super cold. And so the pool was out. We'd been in the pool the last time we were there in December, we had been in the pool, but this time, too cold for that. So we did Ohana that morning and the kids loved it. I still asked Charlie who his favorite character was that he met, and he didn't like any of the people. He's a shy kid, but he like loved Mickey, Minnie. Stitch was his favorite at Ohana, and that food is excellent too.
Oh,
it's nice,
so
especially with kids, that they bring it to your table, and so you don't have to mess with a buffet or anything like that.
Yeah, that might be one of my favorite character breakfasts on property. You know, I love the Polynesian just in general. I think everybody should have an excuse to get over there, whether you're eating a Kona or go to this, you know, because Ohana dinner is really hard to get that ADR, but you can usually get the breakfast pretty easily. And like you said, I mean, it's got great food in the family style where you don't have to go up to a buffet like over at Chef Mickey's. It's just there and it keeps getting replenished. And the character interaction's great. I love Lilo and Stitch. And then I think a lot of people think it's Lilo and Stitch, but I mean, it's Lilo and Stitch, Mickey and Pluto. So you get the big man too.
Yep. Yeah. And we did like an 11 o'clock. So it was a really late breakfast, but that kind of tied us over for the rest of the day. That one is a quick walk from Grand Floridian too, which I don't think we realized when we booked it that we could just walk over there. But, food was great. Characters were great. They do a little parade around the restaurant with the kids, with maracas and stuff like that. And so they had a blast. And then those were really our only big meals. We did do a thank you dinner for my parents. The kids did, and they went to Citricoast one that evening and couldn't stop talking about how delicious that was. And of course, it was convenient because we were at Grand Floridian, but they said the food was just amazing, and would highly recommend that for like a date night or a nice dinner if you were looking for something like that.
Yeah, my buddy Scott, he loves that place. I've never been there yet myself because, again, we don't do a lot of fancy meals. My family's very – I'll eat the fancy stuff. That's why I like cruising, because when we go on a cruise, I get all the fancy stuff, you know, and like everybody else gets – We'll have, I don't know, chicken. It's like, no, yeah. I'm going to have seafood and fancy stuff. But, I got to get over there and try that. He's a big fan of that place. And like you said, I mean, with being on the monorail loop, you really opened up a lot of options. And did you find, being in the two-bedroom was great because everybody could be together. You could celebrate the holidays together, and it brought the family closer together. But just the logistics of being on the monorail loop with the ease of getting into the Magic Kingdom and, all the dining that's available to you within the Magic Kingdom and the monorail resorts, I mean, was that huge for this trip?
Oh, yeah, it was so nice. And that was one of the things going into it where my parents are like, well, if there's a trip that we want to stay close to the Magic Kingdom, this one likely is it, because your kids definitely need to go back for a nap. Or we knew that our kids would definitely need to go back for a nap. And they're like, if we're going to be spending a ton of time there, why not? Let's have the convenience. So we would ride the monorail over to the park or to Magic Kingdom, and then usually we would boat back. It was usually quicker to take the boat back, and my daughter and son loved riding that boat back. They thought it was awesome. And the monorail, of course, is like an attraction in itself. We would just take loops around there.
Transportation at Disney is a big attraction to me. Whether it's the ferry boat, the little boat to take you to the Polynesian, the Grand, or, whether it's a friendship boat, or I don't care. The monorail, those are rides.
When I was a kid,
we went down for half a day of the Magic Kingdom. We rode the monorail. I guess it was probably the one from the TTC. And I remember, I got home, it was my favorite ride. It wasn't even in the park, looking back. But that's what I loved. So let me ask you a couple of things. Go and make sure we get these in. So you guys were there early to mid-December, and you said it was chilly. What was it, chilly the whole week that last year? And how did you make do? Because I think a lot of people get surprised when you get down there. It's Florida. It's going to be hot. It's going to be, we're seeing a lot of commercials here in St. Louis right now about it's sunny in Naples. It's sunny in Fort Lauderdale. Well, it can be sunny, and it can still be 45 degrees in Orlando this time of year. So how did you guys make do, and how was it for the entire week?
Yeah, so we were expecting it to be a little bit warmer. It took a turn, and I think it was just something that was coming through the south, because like I said earlier, we packed up and ran from snow in Atlanta, which will shut the city down. And so it was a lot chillier than I was expecting. We started off the week in, the Georgia version of winter coats and long sleeves and pants, hats, gloves, all the whole nine. And we ended the week in shorts. And so it just, every day we would just lose one more layer. And luckily we had a stroller. And so we'd just kind of shove all our extra coats and all that kind of stuff underneath as we walked in and layer up when we needed to and take off layers when we didn't. It really put a cramp in my crafted Disney matching family shirt style, because they were all short sleeves.
Well, and at the same time, you probably had all the people from Michigan just swimming in all the pools, running around in tank tops and speedos.
Gosh.
Is whatever. Get 40 degrees this summer.
Yeah,
I love
exactly.
seeing that.
Well, and I'm like, it's Florida. We're not supposed to be that cold here. But yeah, we just layered up, and it got warmer as the week went on, and just had to layer up at night a little bit.
So let me ask you this. I love when you take kids. I love, this is one of my favorite questions is, when you got home and, you had this awesome experience because, kids like spending time with their grandparents and aunts and uncles and, just family they don't typically get to hang out with. That's a treat, whether it's, just Christmas Eve over at the grandparents' house or what have you. Those are some of my favorite memories. But having this big trip where everybody's together, it's such a wonderful place. Once you got home and got settled, what did the kids report back? What were they talking about the trip once you got home and, weeks went by, months went by? Is there anything that stood out?
One of my favorite things was how they would talk about the characters as if, like it's real life. Like they're meeting these people that are from these movies that, of course, we made sure they watched all of beforehand. So they just the environment that they're in, it's like you're immersed in this world that you that I don't think that they understood could be possible. And so that was just one of the things they would just talk about. Oh yeah, do you remember when we saw Mickey or Pluto did this? We were in the Boneyard at Animal Kingdom, that big playground for the kids, which I think they could have spent a whole day in, but Pluto was walking around in there, and my son's trying to get him to go down the slide with him, and they just couldn't stop talking about that kind of stuff. And then turns out that my son was a thrill seeker too. And so he just could not wait to, when can we go back on roller coasters? When can we go on another ride? And it just was kind of the first experience for all of that. And they just had a blast. And I'll tell you, my husband was like, okay, cool. I'm along for the ride. It'll be great. And we got back and he's like, yeah, we're going to have to do that again. He's got bitten by the bug too. And he's like, I just don't even care about the rides or anything, but just being with the kids and seeing that joy makes it, I just take my money, Disney.
Well, I think that's it though. I mean, when you see those that you love so happy, you know, and it doesn't have to be Disney. I mean, some people it's like going to a, you know, a ball game, you know, if it's your,
right.
You know, it's like Mallory loves going to Cardinals games, you know, so we do that. We find a way to make it happen. You know, we go, now that she was homeschooled this year, you know, we'd go to games during the week, the business person special, get $6 tickets on StubHub, and it made us happy. And it's one of those things, I think, that, you know, when you see those around you happy, it makes you happy, even if you're not 100% invested on that certain experience.
Exactly.
So but I think it was unique for you though, you know, as we start to kind of wrap this up, you know, you were kind of sandwiched in between, your parents are there and your kids are there and your husband's there. So what is that like? I mean, it's, you know, it's truly all those that you love right around you, and it's a place that you have a passion for. So is there anything that really, like, what's the image you have in your mind a year later from this trip that really stands out?
Oh man. Well, we have, like 1,000 pictures coming out of this trip. So to narrow it down to one would be terribly hard. I think one of the coolest, and I, we love my parents. They're young, fun. You want it hanging out with all of us the whole day. And again, just along for the ride. And, we would walk down Main Street that first day and we were watching, the kind of opening show. My daughter was on my shoulders, my son was on my husband's shoulders, and we were all just kind of standing there in front of the castle, all 8 of us. And I'm like, man, and you just look around and everyone is happy. We got the characters up there, the castle's in front of you. And I'm like, yep, just, I need to mental snapshot this one because it just being all together, like you said, being all together and, all from grandkids up to grandparents. It's just, it's magical. It's the Disney experience. So, and there were just so many moments like that. I feel like where we're watching, Happily Ever After for the first time. And I'm sitting there like, am I seriously tearing up at this fireworks show? But I'm looking around and it's my family and everyone I love and the music is beautiful. It's tough to beat those moments.
You know, but I think that sounds so simple. You know, when you say it, it's like, oh, well, I need to, you know, appreciate this moment that I'm in right now. But I think that I think it's even harder for folks like us that listen to this show because we're so worried about what's next, you know, or, you know, when Happily Ever After ends, how can I, as efficiently as possible, navigate us to the monorail and get us to the car or, you know, get us to, you know, an Uber or a minivan, yeah, what have you. I think, you know, we're always like calculating in our minds, okay, we got to put ourselves in the right position, which I think we do. I mean, because we want to have the best experience possible, especially when you have other folks with you, you want them to have as easy of an experience as possible so they don't get frustrated and stuff like that. But, you know, sometimes you can't worry about the next thing. You got to focus on the here and
exactly.
Now because that's what you've been spending the last year for. And you've been dreaming about every night when your head hit the pillow. You're living it right now. So I think that's a great reminder for all of us that you got to live in the now too.
Yeah. And I will tell you, so I made all these plans and I loved having all the plans and thank goodness we had them, but we got there and I think we've trashed half of the plans. We get there and it's like, well, the kids are chasing the ducks now, or like we're staying at the aquarium at Epcot forever. And I'm like, well, so much for that fast pass. Oh, well, the kids are happy. Like, this is great. So I'm like, it was very nice to have a plan. So I was familiar with everything and like knew what we could be doing. And then I'm like, okay, let's just let it go. And we'll, whatever makes everyone happy, let's just stick with that.
But you know what? You got to do that. If you're one of those folks that's just like, you know, I have the perfect plan of attack. And, you know, if we get 17 minutes behind here on our touring plan at Epcot, even though touring plan is a sponsor, it's a guideline.
Yeah.
You know, it tells you the trends. Like, you know, if you do this now or if you do that, it's not like something that you have to stick to because you're there to have fun with your family. You're not there to see 17.76, attractions today. You are there to make memories. And I think we got to remember that. I think this is a great reminder of that.
Exactly.
So what's next for you guys? Because we kind of run close on time here, but I mean, you guys had you blew it out of the park. I can't imagine. But no, I mean, you know, what are your dreams? Like, what are you hoping to do here in the future when it comes to Disney destinations?
Well, you're helping us out with my, like I said, my husband got a little bit by the bug too. And we were, the more that we were walking around and enjoying it, we're like, gosh, wouldn't this be fun to go back just adults? And so we're like, well, we have an anniversary coming up, maybe let's do that. And so we've got a adults only trip on the plans for next year. And then my parents were like, well, you know, it'll have been like a few years, maybe 2020, we should plan a trip and with the whole family again, because they had so much fun as well. And we're like, well, of course we're in for that. And then maybe we need an annual pass, because that would make Disney Max sense. So,
well, I mean, you're practically a local, you know, being in Marietta, you're almost, you know, you're in the backyard. You're like, what, 9 hours away, 8 hours away, something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think it was an 8-hour drive. Unless you got snow, then it's a little bit longer. But yeah, we got bit by the bug hard, and we've got a Disney filled year, and we kind of spread the love around the family. And my brother and sister in law are planning a trip down with our nephew, and said, "Hey, can we borrow a brother?" Is what they said, because my son and my nephew are the same. Are the same age, and so they're taking our son. It's just like Disney's taking over the family, and I am not mad about that.
Well, you know, and you know that, you know, with that though, that's kind of very, very, it's kind of unique for some families. Some families don't have the opportunity where people all kind of rally around something like a Disney vacation. But what it does, it gives you not really goals, but it gives you things on the horizon to dream mm-hmm. about, to plan. And, you know, even if they don't happen, or even if they get kicked down the road a year or two, you know, because, you know, this is happening, somebody's getting married, somebody's going, you know, here, there, wherever, you know, you got something to talk about, and you got a plan to get together. And it's an exciting thing for the family. Everybody's a part of it, and everybody's looking forward to it.
Exactly. And we keep talking about that trip. I mean, it was only a year ago now, I guess, but, yeah, it comes up more often than I expected it to. And even looking at the pictures and things like that, we've got our Fire Stick screensaver on the TV, and it's the Disney pictures will pop up, and we just love looking at them. And, we're just can't wait to go back again.
All right. Well, Courtney, thank you so much for coming on and kicking off a Monday with us. And, you know, hey, Thanksgiving's in the rearview mirror. Christmas is coming up quickly. So great show to get us excited for this. So thanks for sharing the time, and Merry Christmas to you and your family. And I can't wait to talk to you soon.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by our friends over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Two great books for this holiday season for the Disney fan in your life. This is an easy one. You can get an ebook, you can get an audio book for your friend or family member or yourself. You know, I know a lot of people just shop for themselves too. That's a problem I have with my gifts, is that my wife asks me, you know, what do you want for Christmas? Well, typically if I want something, I just go on eBay, or I go on Amazon and buy it. But, you know, so if you have somebody that's tough like that, surprise them. They probably don't have this. Get a copy of The Wisdom of Walt. You can even get a copy signed by author Jeff Barnes. So check it out today over at thewisdomofwalt.com. And of course, the ultimate last minute gift, a premium subscription to touringplans.com, because all you have to do is get the email address of that person you want to purchase the subscription for. Bam, it goes to their email. They're set. It looks like you've been dreaming about this all year. Oh yeah, I thought about that in June. You could say that. Well, you know what? Nobody needs to know. And it's a really inexpensive gift, and it's going to help them have great trips for the next 365 days. So check them out over at touringplans.com. Give us a follow on social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike and at BeOurGuestPod. And do this week, drop by the Facebook page at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Lots of Disney fans, you know, planning trips, talking Disney, having a good time. It's a great site, and we broadcast live over there too. So again, facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And one final thing, don't forget this, if you don't mind, this week, when you have a little bit of time, if you could give us a rating and a review on iTunes and Stitcher, we'd sure appreciate that, because we've been doing this for over a decade now, and sometimes those ratings and reviews expire after a certain amount of time. So if you don't mind, drop by, you know, put a couple of words about the show. Let's help spread the word and move forward into 2019, growing the show even more. We'd really appreciate that. All right. So for Mike and Courtney, we hope that you have a great week. Thanks for checking in with us and starting your week right here. It's time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.